This is the Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Sunday. Larry Hardesty until 3:30. 1-800-919-3776. Also, via X, formerly Twitter, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPN NY. 98_7FM. Tom and Harvey along for the ride. Yes, we have company. Oh, we always have company on the Sunday for you to chat along with. Jamie Harris of the New York Amsterdam News will join me at 2 o'clock. We'll kind of preview Knicks and Indiana Pacers. And, of course, at 3 o'clock, we'll head live to the Garden. That's where our Don LaGreca will anchor our coverage, probably be on the call. You never know. Don is always around the Rangers. He'll give us his thoughts on Rangers-Hurricanes. And that pregame, as I mentioned, begins at 3:30 here on 98.7 ESPN. Well, first of all, let me take my hat off and have a bone to pick with my ESPN New York nightly co-host, Gordon Damer, who yesterday here on 98.7 picked the winner of the Kentucky Derby. Oh, it's outstanding. This on the heels of him picking last week exactly what the Jets were going to do, exactly what the Jets were going to do in the draft. Not only picked the position, but picked the player, Gordon Damer. Then last week, correctly predicted that the Knicks would win and eliminate the Philadelphia 76ers in six games. Gordon Damer is on a roll right now. Here's the bone I have to pick with him. Okay? This is a guy who says he brings people together. This is a guy who did not clue me in on any of this. I did not have a chance to go on ESPN Bet and put some extra shekels in my pocket. So for that, I'm a little upset, especially the Kentucky Derby. But nevertheless, Gordon Damer gets kudos from me. Great job, Gordon, and we'll talk tomorrow night following game one of the Knicks and Indiana Pacers here on 98.7 ESPN. So let's begin where last we spoke. And that was the Knicks going into a game six against the Philadelphia 76ers. And I'm just going to have a quick review and then we'll move on and talk about what we can expect in this series and get your thoughts at 1-800-919-3776. Jalen Brunson right now is causing people to rewrite Knick history. From how he's performed, and here's the scary thing. The playoffs are still going on, right? So he has a chance to equal, to continue, if not surpass, what he's been able to do. And it's going to be hard to surpass what he's been able to do because he has consistently put this team on his shoulders. Consistently. He's done it during the regular season. He's done it during the postseason. And in that first round, listen, let's be honest. They don't move on without him. Yes, obviously, it's a team game. Yes, Josh Hart was tremendous, the big three late in the game. But what he was able to do off the boards and his rebounding has been phenomenal. Yes, what OG Anunoby's been able to bring to the table, gave you a little bit more scoring. You know what he does defensively, great on the rebounds. Yes, the two-headed monster at center, with Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson, and even Precious Achiuwa, you know, in the game that Mitchell Robinson missed, had gave you some big minutes. Yes, they've played well. Deuce McBride had moments. And Dante DiVincenzo, big in the last game. You folks know I've been calling out for him, wondering where he is. He showed up big in game six. So for this Knick team, they were able to get by a Philadelphia 76er team. Give them credit. They gave it all they had. They were undermanned. Knicks were undermanned. Knicks were number two seed. They were supposed to go out and beat the Philadelphia 76ers, and they did. Now we move on. And you've got several questions about this Knick-Pacers series. First of all, one of the questions is, as it always will be, okay? And it's going to be throughout the postseason. I've said it. I will continue to say it. Where is the second consistent scorer going to come in this Knick offense? Is it going to be Dante DiVincenzo? Is he now back on that role where he can give you some scoring? Is it going to be OG Anunoby? Is he going to be that consistent scorer to give you 15, 18 points every night? Is it going to be Deuce McBride? Is he going to be able to give you 10, 12, 15, 16 points off the bench in this series? Who is that second scorer going to be to Jalen Brunson? And now when you look, and it was very evident in game six against the Sixers, where you know, you're looking for points from the bench now. Okay, your bench scoring without Bogdanovich, who's done, is severely hampered. So there is more pressure now on Deuce McBride to come in and give you baskets. Not only play well, not only run the offense, not only do what he does defensively, but to give you points, all right? And you're not going to get points, let's face it, Mitchell Robinson, maybe on dunks or situations like that. You're not running plays for Mitchell Robinson to get you points in the paint. So if you're going to stay with your seven-man rotation, and once again, we don't know, it's a different series. You know, I would think because of the pace that Indiana plays, you may need to consider adding somebody, another person off the bench. You may. Don't know. I mean, Tom Thibodeau is a guy, he's usually consistent. You know, he likes to go with what he likes to go with. And he was very comfortable with seven in that series against the Sixers. But once again, the Sixers don't play with that consistent pace that Indiana loves to play with. Now, if you're the Knicks and you are running your offense well and you are consistently setting your own pace, then you've got Indiana playing at your pace, and that is in your favor. But when you watch Indiana, you know what they like to do. They are a team that loves to put the ball in the basket. They are a team that loves to score. And all eyes are going to be on, obviously, Brunson and Haliburton. That's the marquee matchup, and a lot of folks have been reading, you know, looking up, getting ready, preparing for the series, and that's what you see. But there's some other spots on this series that I'm looking forward to see as well. And obviously, one of them is going to be at the forward spot. And I know that there are some of you who are ready to say, listen, let's just put OG Anunoby on Haliburton, and let's just see what happens. Now, I would think that there will be moments, if Haliburton is hot, where you might see OG Anunoby on him. The versatility that Anunoby brings, okay, is fabulous. And that's one of the reasons why he is such a good player. Because he does have that versatility defensively. But I am very curious to watch the Anunoby-Siakam match. That's one I'm very curious to watch. Siakam has really, much like Anunoby, Siakam has flourished in Indiana. And they've got a pretty big front. And so while I think you will probably see more Precious Achiuwa in this series, possibly, than you did in the last series. Not sure, I'm just guessing. But once again, still, my curiosity is, who will the Knicks bring off the bench? Will they continue to go with seven, or will they kind of stretch that bench out just a little bit? And of course, I have saved the wild card for last. What will we see from the former Knick, Obi Toppin, who has flourished down in Indiana, who once again has done a great job in leaking out, going on the break, finishing strong? He's done a great job doing that. He did that here. His three-point percentage is improving. Can't leave him alone. So the question is going to be, what will the that somebody's got to be back with him. Now, the downside to that, if you're an Indiana fan, is you don't have to worry about him getting any offensive rebounds because he's gone. He's no defensive rebounds for Obi Toppin. He's gone. He's already leaked down. So that's going to be an interesting series. I know that in some places I've seen, there might be, you know, Knicks may be an underdog, Knicks may be a favorite. It really doesn't matter. In this case, you know, unless you're hot like Gordon Damer and you're picking all the wins, then yeah, it matters. But for me, it's game by game, right? It's hard to pick a series because every game changes. Everything changes. Every game is its own series in a lot of ways. So it's going to be interesting to see. Happy that the Knicks have home court. That's always a favor. That's a good thing in the back of your mind that you can have. If there is you get to start out the series at home, you get to set the tempo. But once again, as I always tell you, and if you've watched basketball for a while, you always know the first game is the easiest one for the road team to steal. It's the easiest one. And so if you're the Knicks, you have to come out and make sure that you do what you're supposed to do. Win the first two games at home and then go on the road and see if you can take one of two in Indiana and come back and have a good shot to end it when you get back. That's how you have to view it. That's how you look at it. But I've got several questions. Want to hear from you. 1-800-919-3776. But first, I got to tell you, we've been talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. Big pregame show this morning. The paddles are coming out for the pickleball showdown between Team DiPietro and Rothenberg and Team Anita Marks and the Monty Toomer. Now, if you were unable to make it to Pickleball America today and watch the fabulous pregame show, and then, of course, watch the match, you can still watch it. What? Yep, that's right. You can still watch it. You can stream the match live on the ESPN New York YouTube channel. Now, the match will be posted approximately 12:30 today. You can watch every serve, every volley, every point live, or catch it on the replay. It's all on the ESPN New York YouTube page. And it's brought to you by our friends at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. We'll hear from you. 1-800-919-3776 on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN. And so before I get to the calls, I will agree with Austin Rivers that is an added incentive. But for Jalen Brunson, this is a situation where he is continuing to try to prove people wrong. He is continuing to try to say that, you know, guys his height can't lead a team to a championship. And I'm not saying they're going to a championship, but I am saying that he's determined that he's going to show what his abilities are and how his abilities mesh with this team. And when we talk about points, and rightfully so, because he's been phenomenal with the shooting, his assists have been good as well. So he's also not only shooting, but he's been looking for his teammates. And there's been a narrative. And look, once again, this is the time where you prove things to people. Okay, this is the time. It's regular season is regular season. And I'm not dismissing the regular season. I'm not poo-pooing what he was able to do in the regular season. That's not what I'm doing at all. But this is the time when legends are made. This is the time when you have the chance to change your narrative. If you've struggled previously, this is the time of the year where you can put a different light on things. A lot of conversation, obviously, about what's happened on the West Coast. Lakers don't go far into the playoffs. They fire their head coach. Okay, Darvin Ham's out. Clippers get eliminated. And once again, we are focusing on, and I've done it before, so I'm just mentioning, I'm not, jumping on the bandwagon, I'm just telling you, I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Once again, we're looking at James Harden disappearing in the postseason. Okay, we're looking at it again. And so this is the time of the year where you can change that narrative. Just think, if Harden was able to have a big couple of games, and now even if the Clippers force a game seven, and listen, Kyrie Irving was otherworldly in that series. Otherworldly. He was, there's no words to describe. The only thing I will say is what I always say. When you see him play like that, it's unbelievable to know that he can play like that. And then sometimes things that he may say or do off the court take away from people looking at his talent? I mean, did you watch him in that series? I mean, he took it over. They couldn't do anything with him. Nothing. And so Jalen Brunson now, and this Nick, you know, Knicks of this, Knicks of that. And once again, you do have to show it on the court. And so aside from what Austin Rivers is saying, and he's right, you know, Haliburton took his spot. And people say, well, you know, Brunson should be there too. And all this conversation, is Brunson the NBA? Is Brunson the first team NBA star? Is Brunson the one? Is Brunson the two? What do you, all this conversation now, because of what he's been able to do, not only during the regular season, but now in the postseason. And so that's what makes this so interesting to see just how far this Knicks team can go. All right? Gordon and I have both said it. For this team to have the season they have had, this is the crucial series, ladies and gentlemen, for two reasons. This is where they got to last year and were derailed. This year, for it to be a successful season, they have to get past Indiana and get on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Number two seed changes everything. Number two seed puts extra pressure on what you have to do and what you're able to do. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this series turns out. 1-800-919-3776. Spike's in St. Pete. Hey, Spike.
Hey, good afternoon, my friend. Good to talk to you. All the homework is done. Milwaukee was depleted. Indiana took care of their business. The matchups, I think, are very favorable for the Knicks. A much better rebounding team. Not statistically, because Indiana plays at a faster pace. But I watched most of their games, and Miles Turner, look, not my cup of tea. He gets 6-7 rebounds a game. He can make the three. But he also is a 55% free throw shooter. Siakam and Anunoby probably knows, you know, like you know Gordon, you know. They played all those years together. Yeah. Obi, you just went over, you know, chapter and verse. We know what he's all about. And, you know, they're 2 3-point shooters. Haliburton hasn't been the same player the last 30 games. Yeah. Now, he's really good, but Brunson's been superior. So I'm always flummoxed that Rick Carlisle, I guess you have to coach what you have. He's a defensive coach with an offensive team. Control the boards. You're going to hear the same thing from me you always hear. Control the boards, keep the turnovers down, and, you know, just don't play sloppy. They'll have runs. I can't see Indiana putting up 135 points more than one time on the Knicks, and they'll lose that game. That's the way I see it. I think it's a very solid matchup, and you got to win the first game. You just said it. You got to win the first game. The crowd's going to be crazy. And I'm saying Indiana got there by default. Look, they earned it. They beat them on the square, but right. They were the two best players were out. So I'm excited about it, and I think it's all shaping up well, and we got some rest. And he will go 7 deep. I think you'll see a little run from Precious and someone said somewhere yesterday or something, I was listening on and off and I heard they'll dust off Alec Burks. They'll dust off you before they dust off Alec Burks.
Well, I'll say this, Spike, thanks for the phone call. Then they're not dusting off Alec Burks because they're not dusting me off at all. So there's no question about that. But once again, I'm still, even with that, and I kind of agree with you, Spike, where's that scoring coming from off the bench? I'm still concerned. I still need to know where that. Who's going to take those? And listen, I'm not saying that Bogdanovich came in and gave you 20-25 off the bench. I'm not saying that because he didn't. But he hit some big baskets in that series. He came in some key moments. It was in, you know, times when the Sixers were putting some runs together and he kind of, you know, slowed it down a little bit. And so, you know, from that standpoint, where will Tibbs turn to try to get another scorer off that bench? Or, I mean, listen, here's what we know. We know that Josh Hart is probably going to play 40-plus minutes, okay? We know the starters are going to play 40-plus minutes. So they're not looking for a lot from the bench, but you still need something from that bench. And so now I just think you're asking Deuce McBride to be even more than what he's done. Okay? You're asking him to do even more than what he's done. Also, you're asking DiVincenzo to give you some more baskets, to ask him to be what he was in that game six. So there's a lot of different scoring things that's going to happen. Once again, too, you know, that front line is big for Indiana. You know, you got Siakam up there. You know, you got a big front line. So can the Knicks be able to continue what they do so well, which is off the offensive boards? Can they get that rolling and get multiple opportunities? You know, and you got some centers that's going to be pulled away from the basket. Because as Spike mentioned, you know, you got a guy who likes to shoot threes. And the free throw shooting, I mean, him and Mitchell Robinson, they're a wash because both of them just can't hit them. So, you know, that's a wash there. But it should be an interesting series. We'll continue the conversation with more of your phone calls. Plus, Jalen Brunson rewriting Knick history. We're going to hear from a former Knick about what he thinks about Jalen Brunson. I want to get your thoughts about that as well. It's the Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Here on 98.7 ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. But Charles Oakley was not done. He had this to add on Freddie and Harry.
I go by what I see. I played with Patrick for 10 years. I didn't see this kind of energy from him and leadership. I ain't nothing bad against Patrick, but he wasn't that type of player. He didn't never put his team on his back. He never stood up for his teammates.
All right, that's Charles Oakley. Listen, for me, it's a great conversation. I mean, I even saw a place where somebody asked, is Jalen Brunson the best Knick since Walt Clyde Frazier? Oh, it was on First Take last week. Yeah, Stephen A. and the crew. And it's a lot of fun to have the discussion. It really is. And that's why I'm saying to you that Brunson is rewriting history. He's rewriting it. That everybody now is having this conversation about where he lands and what he's done for this team. Oakley is 1,000% correct as to what Brunson's been able to do. He has definitely put this team on his back. He's definitely done what he had to do. Carmelo didn't do it. Patrick Ewing tried to do it. Not the same type situation. Centers, it's going to sound like I'm making excuses for Patrick, but I'm not. Patrick made some plays. The Knicks don't get to where they go without him. But it's harder for centers to lead a team and dominate consistently like a player that has the ball in their hands all the time. It's just harder to do. I mean, you look at Embiid. You look at, now, Jokic. Jokic is a fabulous player. Jokic can't put a team on his back, and he's Jamal Murray. It's harder to do. It's a little easier to do with a player that has the ball in their hands all the time. Is Patrick Ewing the leader that Jalen Brunson was? I'm going to have to agree with him. I'm going to have to agree with Oakley. He's not the same type leader. He wasn't. And this is, by the way, this is nothing new for Charles Oakley to say. Charles Oakley has been consistent. He has said this constantly. He said it when he was in the same locker room with him. I remember, you know, you ask Oakley questions, well, you know, you can ask Patrick. He's right over there. Certain things. So he's not, it's not a Johnny come lately thing. It's not, oh, Oakley's bitter. Oakley don't like the Knicks. Oakley don't like Dolan. Oakley don't like the Garden. That's not what it is. Oakley's been consistent in saying that. Oakley said it when he was in the same locker room with Patrick. He said it when he left the locker room with Patrick and went to Toronto. He has constantly said it. So he's been consistent, and that much I respect. But he's right. Neither Melo or Patrick has been able to do what Jalen Brunson has been able to do. And it's funny because what did we say? Not going to say we, me. What did I say about Melo? What did I say about Patrick? They needed somebody else, right? If Patrick had Bernard King, it would have been different. If Melo had a healthy Amari Stoudemire, it would have been different. That's what we always say. You know, if Melo had a point guard, it would have been different. Right now, what Brunson's been able to do, he's been phenomenal. It's been phenomenal. And so he is now causing us to really re-examine how we're looking at other players in Knick history and how much we're appreciating Jalen Brunson. 1-800-919-3776. Before I get to the phones, I just got to say, I am enjoying the live stream of the Pickleball Showdown. Team DiPietro and Rothenberg and Team Anita Marks and Amani Toomer live from Stanford. A lot of people in the audience, too, by the way.
Not just at Pickleball America, about 1,350 people plus watching the live stream right now as well.
Outstanding. 1,351, because I'm watching too. So it's really good. It's really good. So if you're listening, have a chance to check it out and watch us as well, you can do that. We invite you to do it. 1-800-919-3776. Off to the phones we go. John's in Jersey. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, Larry?
How you doing, partner?
Not too bad. Just good. Driving home from service.
Okay.
But there was people, when we got Jalen Brunson, there was people saying that, who was he?
Yep.
He wasn't good enough, or why are we paying him $100 million? Now, look at those same people now, right? So that's my first point. Mm-hmm. My second point, I agree with you. I was telling your screener, he needs a running mate. So I looked at the free agent list for this summer, and I said to him, how about DeMar DeRozan? You know, he didn't like that name. But I also didn't mention to him Valanciunas, because we need a big man. I had called last week, and I told you that I was going to take the Knicks in five over the Sixers if we had scoring from the center position, we still don't have that.
Uh-huh.
This guy Valanciunas from New Orleans, he gives them a double-double, and that's what Zion playing.
Uh-huh.
So he either needs a scoring center, or he needs a better small forward or a shooting guard. He mentioned Devin Booker. Devin Booker, he's soft. He's not. He doesn't represent the grit of New York. He's too soft. Okay, I don't know what guard is out there that we can get, but I was just curious how you see it. I'll take your opinion off the air too, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, John. Thanks for checking in. I'll say this: Valanciunas, the way the Knicks are run right now, Valanciunas is a very talented player. I think the Knicks are happy with the two-headed monster they have. Although I will say this, John, I think, you know, Mitchell Robinson's injury concerns are a concern. His availability is a concern. He gives you all he has when he's there, but it's a concern. I think Hardenstein has been able to give you something in that spot. I think that the Knicks are looking so for me, I think they're okay where they are with what they have. I know what you're saying about the center, but if they were to upgrade their center position, I think they would want to find somebody who could, you know, stretch the floor, shoot the three from out there. All right. I don't think they're looking for a similar player to what they have. And I also think that they like the rim protection. The Valanciunas is a decent rim protector as well. I think they like what they have with the two guys. Now, Hartenstein is a free agent at the end of this season. So it'll be interesting. I fully expect them to sign him. I really do. I think he'll be back. So I hear what you're saying about the centers, but I think they're good there. Devin Booker, I'm going to say this to you the same way you said to the fans who called in earlier and talked about Jalen Brunson being overpaid. Devin Booker may appear soft to you where he is in Phoenix. I don't know if he's going to be the same way when he comes here. Okay, would you have thought that Jalen Brunson was as tough as he is when you watched him being a running mate to Luka Doncic in Dallas? I don't know. So I think the scoring, and I don't think that Devin Booker is coming here, but the scoring that he brings to the table would be great for what the Knicks have. Okay, and I'm not really, I want to improve the team. The team has to improve. But I'm not really trying to improve the team. I'm trying to improve the team with limiting the amount of chemistry that I take away from this group. Because I think the group, the way the chemistry is good. I like the chemistry. Okay, I do. I like the way they play together. I like how they understand each other. I like how they move. I like how they cover for one another. I like the chemistry that you have. And you're looking around the league at teams that do not really, that have a heavy upload talent that don't really have chemistry. You look at the three with the Clippers. Right? Chemistry is not there. You look at some other teams. Chemistry is not there. Talent, great. Chemistry, not so much. And ultimately, it takes a team. It takes a whole team. All right? It takes a whole team to get things going to the way you want. So the Knicks do need to upgrade. There's no question about that. I personally might consider upgrading in the front court rather than the back court because they're starters for me. And I know I'm looking at this, you know, because I don't have Julius Randle, but I'm looking at a front that's kind of small. Obviously, if Randle's back, it's a little different. Maybe you do need some more scoring from the backcourt position. Maybe you're going to have to get some more scoring for your bench. But second superstar, yeah, maybe. But right now, John, I'm going to defer that till the end of the season. Right now, I'm just trying to enjoy. I'm trying to enjoy this run that the Knicks are on at this moment. Trying to enjoy this run. This is an interesting battle here, the pickleball tournament going on here with DiPietro and Rothenberg and Anita and Amani. Right now, DiPietro and Rothenberg up 5-2. Wow. Wow. Somebody got money on this game.
This is the Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
The Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7. You know, Wind Creek Bethlehem is your kind of fabulous. Enjoy Pennsylvania's loosest slots and most free play, plus live stadium gaming, a poker room, and the sports book. It's powered by Betfred Sports. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Hardesty until 3:30 on 98.7 ESPN, chatting with you at 1-800-919-3776. Let's head back to the phones and let's speak with Kevin in Baldwin. What's up, Kev?
Hey, I'm on it, Larry. Shout out to you and Harvey. Listen, I'm going to piggyback.
Mm-hmm.
Point guard, you know, the smartest guy on the team. You know, if we got a guy like his smarts, that's you know, running the team, like you said, it's team wall. Plus, you know, if he's putting up 20 or 30, that's a plus. Mm-hmm. One quick thing on this kid Sims. I've been watching him all year. I think they put him in for 8, 10, 12 minutes. He's good for 3 rebounds and 4 block shots. You know, he's silky smooth and anything. And he's got the length, man, to get out there on the 3-point line. You know what I'm saying? He's got the height, man. I mean, give these guys an 8, 10-minute break anyway. And give, you know, but Bronson, man, he's out of his mind. God, bless him, bless. And go Rangers, man. And
all right,
the pickleball,
yeah.
you got to take Amani because he's an ex-Giant. All right, thanks for the time, man. Keep it going.
All right, Kevin, thanks for checking in. There's a nice little battle going on here, you know, between DiPietro and Rothenberg and team Anita and Amani. Nice tops, too, by the way. DiPietro and Rothenberg with unis. Names on the back. Of course, Dave would have... was that DNR on the sleeve? I should do this like a play-by-play, Harvey and Tom. You know, white jerseys with blue piping.
Got the red lettering. I think they got the company flag like up in the on the chest. They got the DNR on the sleeve, and they got their favorite numbers, of course, on the back. Dave, of course, going with LT's number 56, mm-hmm. and Rick his own number 39.
Yeah, absolutely, and. Amani and Anita, kind of like Mike Tyson coming in the ring, basic. Nothing fancy, nothing frilly. Came to work.
All business.
That's how they came in. We coming in here to win this thing.
Well, they're not winning this thing right now. They are down 1-0 right
yes.
now.
Yes. Now, how many sets are they going?
They're playing a best of 5 today.
Okay. Best of 5. Stamina is going to be an issue. Stamina is going to be an issue. We'll keep an eye. You can watch it, by the way. Tom, what's the channel on YouTube at ESPN New York?
Yes. So if you go to if you search ESPN New York Pickleball Showdown, we are live streaming this at this very moment. We got a score bug and everything.
Yes.
Amani, Anita, Rick, and Dave, they're all mic'd up, so you'll get a more personalized experience to hear everything that's going on if you couldn't make the trip up to Stamford. Incredible production work.
It is. It's great. This is it's fabulous. Fabulous. Boy, if I wasn't talking to you guys, I'd be listening to this. But I'm talking to you. 1-800-919-3776. Sharif's in the car. What's up, Sharif?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, partner.
I mean, look, it's been a long time. I remember when I was in high school watching the Knicks, so it's great to watch. Feel like you have some type of shot, not thinking that, you know, and plus you're not playing the Heat. I'm so tired of playing the Heat in the playoffs and playing somebody else as the Sixers before. That was great. But, you know, Brunson, the reason Brunson's so great, just basically what the other guy was saying before me, he's a one and a two. So he basically makes half the points of the team. So, you know, he's basically two players in one body, you know, and as long as, you know, I just hope they play DJ Vezo more on more games, you know, because he played great defensively against Maxey in the last game. And I don't know, I thought the coach liked Burks. So what's the situation with Burks? And basically what you were saying before, you know, I hope they keep the team as is and just add to it. I hope they could keep everybody, you know. And I guess that's the downfall of picking guys up by trades or free agents because, you know, usually you have that window of having a great team for a long time. So I just hope they keep this team as is because I'm loving it. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm going to be 50 this year. So I never seen a Knicks championship ever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they could do it this year, hey, that would be great. But I wish Randall was still here. But, you know, going to what you were saying, I'm enjoying it. I love watching the game. And, you know, go Knicks.
All right, Sharif, thanks for the phone call. I think they will try their best to keep the nucleus of the team together. All right? Now, the positives is, let's say you add to the Burks and the Bogdanovich situation. I mean, you pick them up near the end of their contracts. I mean, if it doesn't work out, you don't have to bring them back. If it didn't work out, you wouldn't be locked into them. Okay, you can let it go. You can let them go and bring in some other people. All right? So what you were doing was, for the moment, this is what we need. Let's see if we can add this. If it works, we'll re-sign them. If it doesn't work, well, that's okay. We took a flyer on it. We'll move on and try to put somebody else in that spot. They like Burks. That's why they brought him. You know, listen, Tom Thibodeau liked him, liked what he brought to the table when he was here the first time. Burks is not the scorer that he was. And so in the minutes that he performed, he did not give you the consistent scoring that he gave you even when he was here the first time. Some people think he's done. And so if he he's not great defensively. Now, if you're telling me that I may can steal a couple of minutes with him on the floor, I want to have a different view height-wise, and maybe Tibbs does that, maybe. But I don't see that happening. I just think Tibbs is going with his seven guys. And the question is, who's going to be, if there is an eighth, which I don't think there will be, who would that be? That's going to be the situation. Now, I could see Achiuwa possibly getting some minutes because your centers don't like to play away from the basket. I mean, you know, Mitchell Robinson's uncomfortable away from the basket, and you've got a pacer guy that loves to shoot threes at the center spot. All right, as a matter of fact, it's been a guy that's been rumored to be coming here for like a number of years. You know, he's going to be coming, he's going to come, he's going to come, he's going to come. So, you know, he's not coming, he's staying in Indiana, obviously. But, you know, it is going to be interesting to see how this bench plays, and will there be, because I keep hearing this, you keep waiting to see it, players mentally understand when it's the postseason, everybody plays more minutes. And so I remember hearing Austin Rivers saying, you know, Tom Thibodeau has guys playing a lot of minutes. It's a lot of minutes. You get to the postseason, the numbers will add up. He is correct. You do. But unlike the regular season, you're not doing two games in 3 days. You're not doing three games in 5 days and traveling on an off day. You're doing every other day and you have some time to rest. So, and once again, this team is that's all they do is play 40 plus minutes a game. So they're conditioned mentally and physically to get that done. But is there a situation where, you know, you see a fatigue? Maybe late in the fourth quarter you do. We'll keep an eye on that. Because I think you saw it Game 5 of the series with the Sixers, You saw guys were exhausted. And if they are not going to dictate pace and they allow Indiana to push the ball and run it up and down the floor, yes, that could be an issue. But I don't think the Knicks are gonna do that. 1-800-919-3776. Darren's in the car. What's up, Darren?
Hey, what's up, Larry? Thanks for picking up the call for me, man.
You got it, partner. What's happening?
I just want to talk about a couple of things. The first thing is the Knicks-Pacers matchups with personnel. The Pacers don't even have a backup center. They have a kid, Jalen Smith. He's like 6'8". I think this, who's going to guard Mitch in those 20 minutes when Turner isn't on the court? He only averages 30 minutes a game, right? And the Knicks have been doing this all year, running 48 minutes with McBride, 48 minutes with Hart. You know, they're built for this. There's that old Pat Riley saying, right? Yeah. Use 8, rotate 7, play 6, trust 5. I think that's where he'll stay. We'll punish them on the boards. OG is 6'8", and when Turner's at the top of the key setting those screens, OG's going to be sitting there waiting, playing help D. So while there is a guy at the top, we're still going to have that matchup where Halliburton's going to have to challenge OG, who's a great defender. I think the matchup plays extremely well for the Knicks. Unless OB plays out of his mind, the other only person is TJ McConnell that we have to keep an eye on. They don't have a backup center. What are they going to do for 20 minutes when Mitchell Robinson's out there killing them on the boards? Well, we'll see. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Darren. Thanks for the phone call. It's a great point. They don't play a lot of folks, and their backup center is it's a younger guy. But what they do is they don't look at it that way. They look at it, let's push the ball. We got athletic wings. Let's go. Let's push it. And so it is going to be interesting if the Knicks are able to play their game and control the pace. If they're able to just slow it down, control the pace, it favors them. But once again, and you mentioned TJ McConnell, he is a guy that he is their energizer bunny. He's a guy that changes pace for them. He's a guy that just gives them energy. He's a guy that does plays very well. He hits shots. He fits what they do. When you're trying to change the pace and change the tempo and change the face of the game, he's that rah-rah guy. Now, they play with a lot of pace, but he gives them another burst of energy. So he is a guy that's got to be, it's got to be contained because he's like the king of that second unit. 1-800-919-3776. When we return, we'll continue to take your Knick calls. We'll keep you updated on what's going on in Stanford and the pickleball brawl for it all between Team DiPietro and Rothenberg and Team Anita and Amani. Right now, not good for Team Anita and Amani. We'll discuss that next on 98.7 ESPN.